We've been taking a little journey through the book of Acts. Last week, we were in Acts 11 up in Antioch. We're going to go back down south today, back to Jerusalem. And persecution is now hitting the church in Jerusalem. And on the whole, persecution is really good for the church. Let me just say that again. On the whole, when the church is persecuted, it is really good. Why? Because our dependence comes off of our works onto the delivering power of Jesus Christ. So, if you've got a Bible, find Acts chapter 12. It's quite a long section, but it's a great, great story. So why don't you stand? Whenever we're reading the Word of God, we stand. You can find it in your Bibles. It'll come up on the screen. You can find it on your phones. This is Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers. And the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from the expectation of the Jewish people." So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And Peter knocked on the door of the gate. A girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You're beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is his angel." Now, Peter continued knocking, as you would, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them by his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, "Go tell these things to James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. Then as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. But when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. He went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord and having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of a god and not a man." And then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and died. Yes. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Amen. I'm very aware that many thousands of Christians are severely persecuted today around the world for the name of Jesus Christ. This year, many thousands will give their life for him as martyrs, and the world is not worthy of them. And by talking today about some of the persecution that we might see, I in no way want to compare with what they go through. But I do want you to see that persecution always causes the same prayer. You see, when people are persecuted, they don't pray that the persecution would stop in the scriptures. They pray for boldness. We've seen it all the way through Acts. They pray, Lord, make me bold. Make us bold to speak your words. And so our prayer should not be the persecution stops, but that God would make us bold in whatever we face. So, a little background. This is Herod Agrippa, and he kills James, the brother of John. This is the grandson of the Herod who kills all the babies when Jesus is born. So it runs in the family. And James and John are the ones that wanted to sit either side of Jesus. Remember, one of the Gospels says they asked and the other blames the mother. But the reason I tell you that is that as we read the Bible, it's the story of real men and women in real places that are just like you and I, who obey God and see his wonders work through them. So Herod kills James and he sees that it really pleases the Jews. Why? Why does it please them? Because the message of the gospel destabilizes and the status quo of society to usher in the kingdom of God. What do I mean? When the kingdom of God is preached, there must be a response. You have to respond to God. When he asks something of us, he always expects a response. And the kingdom opposes the ways of men and proclaims a better way, the higher way, the ways of God. And the message never changes. You know, often the medium might change of how we share the message, but the message is exactly the same. Repent. Escape this corrupt generation and turn to Jesus, the lover of your soul, the one who gave his life for you on the cross. Be baptized so that your old life is done and dusted, finished, and rise again to the new life that Jesus has won for you and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then live the rest of your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. The message of the gospel never changes. And you need to understand, Christianity is not a religion, it's not even a movement, it is a revolution. There is not a nation on the earth that has been able to stand against it through history. And China is in the process of learning that. It is estimated in the next 20 years, China will be more Christian than the United States because of what God is doing there. Yeah, that's good. God is on the move. So now what we see is Herod sets his sights on Peter. Now remember, Peter has already been in prison. Okay, but this time it's different. This time it's Herod. This time he's not in the church prison. He's in the Herod's prison with the full might of the Roman Empire. So the church prays, ekenos, fervently with noise. Okay, the church gathers together and they cry out to God. And the inference here is they don't stop. And the question had to be in their minds, can God do it again? You know, Herod was going to take his head off the next day. Peter is surrounded by four squads of soldiers. There really is no human way out. Put a pause button. Let me say something about church prayer meetings. The reason not many people go is because most people don't believe in the power of prayer. They don't believe it's very powerful. But I want to tell you, it's all the early church had. They didn't have anything else. All they could do was cry out to Jesus Christ, who had given his life on the cross for them. Would you deliver us again, Jesus? Would you come and walk amongst us? Would you make us bold to proclaim your good news? That's all they had. Now, James was not delivered. James lost his head by the sword. But it doesn't stop. stop the church praying. Now, I don't know why James wasn't delivered. I don't know why some are healed and some are not healed. But it doesn't stop me praying for the sick, because that's the command of Jesus. Pray for the sick. In fact, his command isn't pray, it's heal. Heal the sick. And as persecution arises against the church arises in prayer. And as the church starts to arise in prayer, a supernatural boldness comes upon us. And look, if you don't get anything else today, I want you to hear this. Friends, we must not waste our freedom. This is a precious moment in the history of our country. We must not waste the freedom we have. So you may be under attack. There may be, you know, because you're a Christian, there may be some pushback. Rise in prayer. It's time for crazy prayer meetings. Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. It's time to pray. You see, we don't need to be, we're not praying because we're scared. Peter is not anxious. Peter does exactly what Jesus did in the storm. Peter is asleep in prison. The angel has to awake him. The room fills with light. His chains fall off. And then the angel just says, follow me. Where are the guards? Just like Jesus walked through the crowds, Peter walks through the guards. Now you need to understand that this isn't a story for 2,000 years ago. The persecuted church around the world are telling the same stories. Do you know who I mean by Brother Yun, the heavenly man? Some of you read his story? If you haven't, you need to. He was in prison in China. After many years in prison, he escaped from Hangzhou, I don't know how you pronounce the name of the prison, from which it is reported that no one had previously escaped. He described how he heard the voice of the Holy Spirit telling him to simply walk out the heavily guarded prison gate. Despite the risk of being shot, he wrote later that he obeyed the voice and walked straight through several closed prison doors in front of many prison guards, across the prison yard, and finally out of the main gate. Brother Young stated that it was as if he'd become invisible to the guards who stared straight through him. Although many expressed doubts that such a thing could happen, some prison guards have lost their jobs for this embarrassing mishap. It is claimed that the official investigation by the Chinese government concluded that Brother Young received no human help in this escape and therefore should remain free. These reports have been corroborated by prisoners who occupied the same prison cell as Brother Young. He remains the only person to claim to have escaped from the notorious maximum security prison. A couple of years ago, we were in Rotterdam with the Awakening Europe gang, and some of the guys were leading worship there, and Ben, who you know has been here, said, Brother Young's here, would you like to meet him? You bet. So he brings him over, and he's this little Chinese man, and he's just glows. I mean, he's just like a walking, I don't know, glow thing. And he walked over and he said, let's pray. And when you've been in prison, you don't have the privilege of chairs and stuff. So he took a hand and we all knelt on the floor in a circle. And he prayed for us and he prayed for you and everything that would happen here. And it was one of the greatest privileges of my life. You know, you get to meet all sorts of people, but to meet someone that has been imprisoned and tortured for Jesus Christ. But not only that, who the Lord sent an angel to lead him out of one of the highest security prisons in China and to lead him out to tell his story so that one day China will be saved for Jesus Christ. It's Acts 29. It's carrying on. And this is what Peter says when he gets out of the prison. Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel to rescue me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen. You see, Herod has no power over Peter. The people have no power over Peter. Remember, Jesus says, the prince of this world is coming, but he has no hold over me. If he has no hold over Jesus, if he has no hold over Peter, and we are in Christ and we are the church built on the rock that is Peter, he has no hold over us. Which means the state has no power over us, and the fear of people is broken over us, and the kingdom of darkness is plundered by us. This is the commission of the church. So when Peter gets out, the first thing he does is he goes to the prayer meeting. You think you go to the book club, you know, we need to write this down. He's at the prayer meeting. And he goes to Mary's house where John Mark is a cousin of Barnabas. Now here's a new character for you. This is why I want you to really understand that as we read the stories in this book, they are real people. Just ordinary people like you and I who God uses. So John Mark is going to accompany in the following chapters Paul and Barnabas. And the truth is, he's going to turn out to be a bit flaky. Some of you are a bit flaky. You're trying to find your feet. But John Mark ends up writing Mark's gospel. It's really good news for flaky people. Because of his life, we get Mark's gospel. Where does it all start? A prayer meeting in his house. If you're flaky, if you're trying to find your feet, get to the prayer meeting. This is where the Holy Spirit gets hold of you and transforms your life. Church, this is important. We must not fear offending the authorities. There's some crazy notion in the church that if we feed the poor and if we don't oppose their ideologies, the authorities will love us. So the church in the UK has been silent so as not to offend, and instead of being loved, has become irreverent. I go to Colombia. It's become my second home, to a church there called Avivamiento, and I was there just over a year ago. And I arrived, and we went out for some food before church, and they were outraged. They said, "Have you heard?" And actually I had, because it had been on the BBC, literally just as I'd gone, that there had been an abortion law that passed that meant that people could have abortions really late stage, I mean, like you can here. And they were outraged. "Have you heard?" And I said, "Yeah, I did." And to be honest, it wasn't, What's the deal? It's been like that for ages in England. And they said, "Not on our watch." They said, "We're going to march." I've never been on a march in my life. It was my first ever march. So Sunday morning, they showed on the big screen an abortion. And we watched a baby die. And there was silence among the 30,000 people in the crowd. And then they said, "Now we're going to go and do something about it. We're going to speak for those that don't have a voice." And 40,000 people marched to Parliament Square. And we worshipped all afternoon before Parliament Square. And they preached and they said, we will not stand for this. I asked them next time I went, "What happened?" Because they just didn't mention it to me. They said, "Well, the law was repealed and the judges lost their jobs." What did you think happened? You see, the church arising. You see, we've got to get over the fear of people and fear God. The people might not want to hear about Jesus, but they're lost like sheep without a shepherd. How will they hear unless someone preaches to them? Oh, no, we don't preach. We don't preach. We just love them. Well, how's that worked out for us? There was a girl, and she decided she was going to lead her classmates to Jesus. So she determined to love them to Jesus. So no matter what they said, she loved them and was kind to them. If any of them were sad, she would always get alongside and comfort them. And after 2 years of loving her class, one of them came up to her and said, "Is there something different about you?" She said, "Yes." He said, "Are you a vegan?" You see, if we don't tell them, they won't know. When I left school, I started my first job. I left school at 16. I never went to university. I did an apprenticeship. My company paid for my education. And my Christian leaders gave me the best advice I've ever had. They said, on your first day, blow your cover as a Christian. Do it on the first day. So I'm 16 years old, been a Christian 3 years, and I was in a place like this. This actually used to be an engineering training college. It was owned by Leicester College before we were in here. And so I was in one of these, but in Essex. And there's like 120 guys, they're all going to do engineering, electrical, plumbing, all of that stuff. And it was in Essex, so it was pretty rough. So there I am, and I've got my Bible. I found the smallest Bible I could find. It was my little Gideon's one I'd been given at school. It was this size, and I've got it hidden in my pocket. And it's the first like break, and the canteen is buzzing, and everyone's shouting, and just oh my goodness, it was like a zoo. And I got my Bible out, and I open it up, and I put my hand over it like that, and my head down over it, so no one could see that I was reading my Bible. And suddenly I hear, hey mate, what are you doing? Are you all right? They think I'm crying. I'm going, no, I'm fine. They go, what are you doing? I'm going, I'm just reading. What are you reading? I'm just reading my Bible. What? Bible. And he grabs it. He says, look, he's got a Bible. And he looked at, we all had name tags on, a trainee so-and-so. And he said, from here on forth, let Steve be known as trainee vicar. All right, and that's what everyone called me for a whole year. And they mocked me incessantly. It was like a year of grill the Christian. And hear me, it's nothing like Brother Young. But what I became was God's representative in that place. And that people just started asking me questions. They would mock me but they'd mock me in public, but when they were in trouble, could you just pray for this? Could you just do this? Because they knew what I had was real. You know, when I get up early, and you know, sometimes Juliet's up before me, sometimes I'm up before her. But you know, when I get up, I've got a little light that just comes on. And sometimes she'll go, did you have to turn all the lights on when you got up? And I'm going, I didn't. I didn't do it. But this tiny little light, when you've got a completely dark room, lights the whole room. So it feels like you've turned all the lights on. When you have Jesus in your life and you walk into a space, you bring his light and the room becomes light. You expose what is in the darkness. And you need to understand, anyone who tries to say there is a better way is mocked. If you stand up and tell people they're lost, if you talk about Jesus, but if no one stands up, if no one tells of the treasure, who will look for it? Who will find it? Jesus tells a story about two men. One who stumbles upon the treasure, good for him. But there's another man who's looking for the pearl, a great price. Why is he looking for the pearl? Because someone's told him. Someone has to tell you, so you'll go and look. You know, some of you are students starting. I know our gang have been out on freshers, just telling people about Jesus. I think they had over 500 people sign up saying they're coming, which is going to be fun. And I, I want to say to you, right at the beginning of term, blow your cover. Blow your cover. Tell people you belong to Jesus. It's way easier at the beginning. And live for him. You see, when we start to preach, persecution will arise, but so will the harvest. We are in a battle. You see, the fear of offense has crippled the UK church. We must learn to speak out. We've got to say what we believe. We've got to speak of God's ways, heaven and hell, sexuality, marriage and family. Start speaking out. This is what God says. The Bible, you have to understand, the Bible wasn't written for this generation to retranslate for their life. The Bible was written to change your life. The Bible doesn't adapt to you. God doesn't adapt. He calls you to himself and says, live for me. There's one more lesson when we're done. We don't fear the authorities, but it's not our job to bring them down either. That's his job. God puts people in positions of power. And when the people worship Herod, the same Herod that's had James's head off, and he lets them, he's struck down by, I think, the same angel that led Peter out of the prison. Immediately, this is what Luke writes, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. I love that. I know I'm meant to love everyone. I know I'm a pastor of the church, but I love it that God is a just God. And he deals with people. But, Luke says, the word of God continued to spread and flourish as the pushback came. No person or nation can stand against the risen, glorified Jesus Christ. He commands us to go and preach. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. We are his people, his hands and his feet. We must not waste our freedom. This is a precious moment in the history of the United Kingdom. And my prayer and my question is, will you blow your cover for the Lord Jesus Christ this week?